Om Shanti, and a very good morning to everyone this morning, and a good morning or good evening or good afternoon to those who are tuning in online. So we have a very rich and experienced panel this morning, and I'm going to introduce them one by one. So on the end there is Sister Anneke. She's from Amsterdam in Holland. She's been in Gyan about 18 years. She's a very experienced teacher. In the middle, I will introduce him, but everybody knows him anyway, Brother David. Brother David is from somewhere in Australia, and he now lives in Gyan Sarova, and he bakes very nice bread. And this is Sister Shirley. She lives in Lanesia in South Africa. And she's been in Gyan probably about 35 years. 40 years. Okay, so, and David's been in Gyan about 40 years. 39 years. And my name's Linda, and I'm from the UK. And I've been in Gyan 40 years also. So, very rich and experienced panel this morning. So the topic, if I remember it right, is love heals body, mind and soul. And so the song that was played this morning was very beautiful. A true heart is what we're all aspiring to. Lakshmi and Narayan are the number one true hearts. So we're all working towards that, making our heart clean and pure and true. So I thought this morning we could just start off with asking each one of the panelists to share their experiences of how love has healed them. Maybe, I don't know whether they want to share on the level of body, mind or spirit, but it might be nice if they could start with something connected with the body, because we have an experienced panel here, and it would be nice to go a bit more subtle, to go a little bit more deep within the healing process, and that connection, of course, with God's love. So I'd like to start with Sister Shirley, if you'd like to share your personal experiences.
Om Shanti, dear family. So I would like to start off with sharing the personal experience in terms of health. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And when I was given the message that it's stage 4 cancer and things, and truly it was just the soul had to be, you know, be very quiet, very still, and be able to accept what has come through. It's time for the body to be healed and cleansed, the process of healing and cleansing. And yesterday Baba beautifully shared about the balance between service and self-effort and the illness of the body definitely was an indication and an awakening for the soul to take time off, to be honest with the self, and to reflect deeply, you know, the patterns, the sanskaras, the emotions, etc. And that only requires a quiet, still mind and to be with Baba. And so that definitely was an imbalance Because, you know, when we really get involved with service, sometimes really neglecting the self and not taking good care of the self as well. And we know that to do good quality service, we have to come from a space of power, Baba's presence, Baba's vibrations, etc. And also, you know, from that pure, pure intention. But just wanting to say, to go deeply and reflect deeply and honestly, one has to have that love for the self, love and deep care for the self, and that requires going into the depth of soul consciousness. If we are not centered and connected with our true self, we really can't see ourselves honestly. And in order to step into Baba's vision for the soul, firstly, we need love for myself. Love, care, deep acceptance of our strengths, of our weaknesses, and to be able to have, to be able to face that weaknesses especially and work on that, I have to have love, care and compassion. And I'll stop there and we'll carry on further. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. I think if I get each one to share their little story first, and then we can see where we go from there. So we might as well go around. Brother David, what would you like to share?
Om Shanti. Yeah, I've the experience of Baba in a very subtle way. I've always found sort of if there's any illness or anything with the body, it's like the more I'm able to, or more I've been able to be in that state of silence, it's almost like that's almost a state where I can really see what imbalance is there. And when I'm able to see that, it's almost like nature has its own way of healing as well. For example, sometimes if I have something and then there's some imbalance, and then I think, okay, I'll take this and this, say a medication, for example. It might be a medication or something. And then I realize, okay, prior to that, it might have been something which, something I'm eating or something, it's happening that's affecting the body, that actually that's been actually the solution for that illness, to eradicate that or to stop that, rather than say take something to give the experience of being better, but actually what I'm actually doing is actually causing the harm, you know, on a physical sense, or taking something. So I think when I've been really in that state of where I've been able to be in stillness and silence, then it's almost the solution is there. Baba will present something there, or you'll get some touching or feeling that, okay, this is actually the cause of that, and of course it's also the remedy to stop that. Does that make sense? Thank you.
Okay, Annie Kay. Yes. I will take you to the year 2020, March. I was here in Madhavan. And we have to we had to go out because it was COVID. And we had the last plane to Holland. But in a way, I was also, I know it was the government who said everybody, all the double foreigners has to go out. But emotional and very deep feeling was that I had to go out of Madaban, and that was my safe house. And for me it was a shock. And now we went to Holland, and I was thinking, oh, I don't go back to Madaban. And after a few months, my husband, he's also in BK, he gets very ill, and he had an operation and all kinds of treatments. He still does. But we both by Baba, so we know it is all karmic accounts. And the next month, I heard, I go to the center in Amsterdam, that the CC with the whole team was gone, with all kinds of issues. So there was nothing, and also there was nothing more, it's not the right word. It felt also like an safe place to have meditation with each other, and okay, the place wasn't there. It was a little bit because we arranged one floor from five floors, so we arranged all together. And after that, I broke my pulse and of my wrist, and it happened funny things with me, and I was realizing, okay, now I have to stop, otherwise I get an accident. It is not, you know, I feel I had to work to myself. I had to go inside. And I thought I did it, but you can't go deeper. And then I came to my soul, and there was nothing more. There was no Annika, no friends, or, you know, I just was in the space. And also, again, I was a little bit shocked because I think, oh, I have to be something or someone, or, you know, but Baba helps me with his love, and I came together, and I sit now here, and I get so much jewels. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. I wanted to just ask Shirley, especially because Shirley has been diagnosed with cancer, and you shared all the things you would do if you're a Brahmin, but I wanted to ask you how you felt, because this year, in the beginning of this year, I also had a health issue, and the doctor told me I had cancer. And it's quite an interesting process to receive such news, because cancer is an illness that is very associated with death. And I actually, it was completely a wrong diagnosis for me, but it wasn't for you. So would you like to share, you know, what your feelings were? Because there may be people listening or out here that it would be very helpful to share something much more personal of how you dealt with that on that level.
So the oncologist asked myself or my sister, they're sitting in front, to bring the family members, and I took a few of the family members, the BK family members, and because he wanted to share the status, etc., of the illness. And when the doctor shared the news, for me, I was checking myself. There was like no thoughts, no feelings, but just felt Baba's presence, really. And the doctor asked me, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yes, I'm okay, but I know two of the members, the BK members, was like, feeling the concern and, you know, feeling next, what's next and things. I don't know, you know, whether I was numb or what it was, but definitely there was no feelings and no thoughts as well. I just stayed absolutely in that stage of being light. Just in that stage of being light. And throughout the 8 months of the chemo treatment as well, you know, although it creates quite an impact on the physical body and sometimes, you know, so many other things come up whilst the treatment is going, you know, with the physical body. But all I used to feel that this treatment is going to cleanse the whole body and things. And I used to share with other patients as well that, you know, because when you don't have Baba, when you don't have this knowledge, you know, one can go through the process in a much harsh way. And it was like a service, trying to also share with others and sharing that vibrations, etc., and things. But definitely going into that deep, deep silence, into that soul conscious stage, and being very quiet and still and taking that time off also gave the soul a great opportunity to know Baba in a more deeper way, to understand Baba and experience Baba. That's why I say that this health issue was a gift in disguise. Otherwise, I would have never, ever done that work of going deep and looking at myself honestly and really, really feeling and experiencing the different relationships with Baba. Like the one lovely relationship, especially at Amrit Vela, just to be so, so silent and still with the mind, with body, and be so present in front of Baba. It's as though I was feeling the Supreme Surgeon. He's like penetrating his light so deeply into the soul and cleaning the soul And that's the feeling every day, every day. That's the feeling and experience. But the relationships with Baba enable the soul to receive the blessing of that deep purity of Baba. So much of stuff is sitting within the soul. And it was an opportunity to prepare the self so Baba can work on the soul in a deep, deep way. Because sometimes, you know, when we're not fully, fully present in front of Baba, we miss out a lot. The soul misses out a lot. And that was my gift in that space of silence and preparing the self. And only when there's that love for the self and value for the self, the Murlis actually then become so magical and precious and special, and it became like a personal experience of Baba talking to the soul. The Murlis also became so different for me. And because loving and valuing the self, working on the self and seeing the self honestly, enables the soul to step deeply into Baba's vision. And Baba says, you are that diamond, you are the jewel. You know, I wasn't feeling that before. I mean, after being so many years on this journey, I was not able to feel that. And definitely the quiet time, that was also a deep awakening. How important it is to make time for Baba. He has so many treasures to offer to us, so many special treasures. But our busyness, firstly here and physically, doesn't allow us to experience the magic of this divine relationship and what the confluence age is offering us at every moment.
Thank you, Shirley. It was nice you slipped in that you felt different from what you were before, because I thought you were Karmateet anyway before. So it's nice to see that there's a difference. So David, maybe David, you haven't gone through a physical illness and haven't had those experiences. But how are you using this healing power of love? How are you using it? Because the time we're going through now globally is the time of settlement. And it feels such an opportunity to use this love to settle things that are unknown to the soul. So how are you using that?
Yeah, I think one of the things I've noticed over the years when in action, when doing action, any activity, if I've been doing something and my attention's gone to something else than what I'm actually doing, that's always that's where an accident will happen, or some, almost as if like if I'm not 100% present in what I'm doing, then there's that margin of error in that sense, or accident, or something which is awkward, or like, for example, you might be chopping vegetables. Now, if you start thinking about something else, that's the time you can cut yourself, yeah? I think we've all had experiences where we're not fully present in what we're doing, and I feel that that's also very connected with and surely you spoke of this as being present in front of Baba, but in the sense of if I'm really present in this moment, what I'm doing, then that's the best place I can be. Actually, it's the only place I can be, in a true sense, because if I'm not present where I am, then where's my intellect? My intellect's going to be somewhere in the past or somewhere in the future, not actually where I am. And I think in that sense of, like, I used to notice, for example, I used to ride the motorbike down to Shantivan for years, many years. And if I was thinking, if I started thinking while I was riding, it was like extremely dangerous. It's almost like you had to have that full attention on that action of riding, the road, the stones on the road, the sand, the monkeys coming out, the cows, and the people on the wrong side of the road. You know, like, there's so many factors. So it was almost like that was the start of this sort of thing of being present in what I'm actually doing. And it's almost like, it's the same, like if we say, okay, I'm going for meditation, then what am I doing now? If I'm going somewhere to do something, then what am I doing in this present moment? It means I'm not in meditation. I think I'm going for meditation. So it's almost like to bring back that power of presence to what I'm doing, 100%, and then it's actually easy remembrance then, because it means I'm already in home base, and that is very much connected with silence as well. Like, it means that's the silent space, being present, not thinking about past, not thinking about future, but just being fully in that moment, in that task. And I think that's where it's almost like that's the safety for the soul, to be in that space. Because otherwise, if we're, you know, Baba said many times, you know, if at my last moment, if I'm remembering dot, 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 or something else, then what's going to be your next destination? So it's sort of like, it's almost pointing to, okay, to be that present. And just another thing, I remember, I think it was, not sure what year, but Baba was conducting drill in Shantivan. And this was a time when the tsunami in Japan happened, and thousands of people left the body in that time. But when Baba did this drill, I had such an experience of being present and thinking, okay, Baba will not give a date for Vinash or destruction. He doesn't give a date. He just says, okay, are you ready? And in this experience, I had that experience of being so present, thinking, okay, this moment now is for eternity. Yeah? Because it's part of the cycle. Each moment is eternity in the cycle. So it was like the feeling, okay, if that's the home base, or the soul conscious space in this home space of silence, then that's timeless. And that will be the time that destruction takes place, will be in this present moment. It won't be in the future. It can't be. Because where's the future? You know, it's like, in that sense, it's like, okay, it is going to be in this moment, so be that ready and present that you're in that space at that time. So that was sort of my feeling, think, wow, but then how to keep in the present moment? That's the tricky part, because we get pulled to the past, we get pulled to the future, we think of this, we think of that, all these other things, but actually the feeling of coming back to this moment now as much as possible. So that's sort of been my feeling on, with as far as accidents and sort of things that are awkward or, you know. Thank you.
So I'm wondering if... you know, when we're looking at love healing, it's something that's connected with the past. So, yeah, it's lovely you both said to be in the present, but is there a way you're using Baba's love to heal the past? Because Surya Bhai was speaking last night about the unconscious mind, subconscious mind, and how things are stored in the brain and the soul and the intellect and the mind. And, How are you using God's love to heal that which is quite unknown to us in this birth. Presence, I think, is what both of you have shared in connection with what you've been through. But how you personally, what's your take on that?
Well, I think it's, love in the sense of Bubba's love. I mean, I remember one time being in front of Bubba and he was speaking certain things which to me was not my reality at that time. I didn't feel that. And yet Bubba was seeing that. So I think the love from Bubba sometimes is, you know, it's like a mother and child, you know, where the child goes to do something and the mother protects the child. Even if the child sort of, does something, the mother forgives the child. And so Bubba, in that sense of the love, it's like, I think still coming back to that, the present is like almost, that's Bubba's world as well. You know, it's like soul world. What is soul world? Soul world's the dimension of silence, stillness. We're just the observer, detached observer. We're not even detached observer, but we're just detached in that sense in soul world. So it's almost like that I feel sometimes the love in that is still being in that space, because that's Bubba's world, that's Bubba's love. And of course the feeling at that time is like it's easy to connect and have that feelings with Bubba at that time, because we're already still, the mind's still, the mind's present. So it's an interesting feeling. Sometimes there's a real waves of that love or a real feeling of that sort of thing, but then other times it's just a sort of knowing that, okay, this is home base, this is the start from here. And I think Bubba's love is there. It's a protection and all the... And sometimes, you know, because sometimes, you know, we think of love of different ways, but sort of, you know, sometimes, like Shirley was saying, you know, sometimes we go through something and then we realise after that actually that's the best thing that could have happened, because it's given me the experience of, wow, how much I was nurtured at that time. And it sort of like reminds me of that, there's a famous little story of somebody walking along the beach, Footsteps, I think it was called, and they were sort of complaining in their mind that, oh God, you left me, you know, I was all alone walking and etc, etc. And then at the end of the story was like, actually God said, but I was actually carrying you, that were my footsteps. So then it's like the realization that actually, you know, that's been the reality, you know, that Bubba's actually doing so much. And some, and a little bit on that as well, you know, I've seen so many and had interest in NDE experiences, you know, near-death experiences. And this is a very common thing of many souls that have left the body, when they experience the love from Bubba, almost like unconditionally, that what it, you know, it's like there's only that experience of love, you know. And they think, why can't they experience that in this physical realm? Why is it that when we leave the body, we have that, they have that experience, but to then bring that back to this reality now. So something's very interesting in that part too.
Maybe that's the next, when we get to the next phase in the drama, is that. Anike, what would you like to share on that in terms of how you've used Bubba's, how you use Bubba's love? It's nice to hear both from brothers and sisters, because I know we have in our centre, the brothers are always questioning what is love, how do I experience love? It's not so much a thing that I've seen that sisters kind of question, but how would you use God's love, this love that heals? How have you used it? Yeah, broken wrist you had, and but what? How have you used it?
When I broke my wrist, I knew what it was and wherefore. You know, just to stop me. And I know, after it, I feel also the love, to take my rest, you know, to go inside. That is for me the love. And that you explore yourself honestly with all your feelings and your sadness or I don't know what, but it is so important that you see all those things. It's not only love you feel, you know, I think it's so. Baba, he asked an honest heart. And every time when I have an honest heart, then I get a kind of insights or, you know, it makes me more aware from Baba and myself. And also that I have to have the connection with myself and Baba and no one else. That's for me the love.
Thank you. I was just remembering whenever there's, especially physical illness, when people go through some physical illness, of course there's many things you question about yourself and many emotions come up and many feelings of guilt or fear or all sorts of things that come up that you, it gives you a chance to face them. And with Baba's knowledge, it's so much more easier to be able to face those things. But I was just remembering Daddy Janki, who in the early days that I knew her, she used to get ill quite often. She had quite a sick body, and it, out of all the daddies, it's quite amazing that she stayed in it till she was 104, because she, you know, we used to get a phone call to say, Daddy's really sick, this is it, prepare yourself, this is it. And I mean, I never was living with her, so I didn't actually see what she did, but what I heard of what she did, she used to go into deep, deep silence, and, you know, usually within 24, 36 hours, she turned the whole things round, and she was more physically healthy after that period of time than she was before. So, you know, she really did use all of God's power, God's love, God's silence. I mean, I'm sure all of that's combined, isn't it? Bliss. It's not something that you can separately draw on one particular aspect. But I also thought that Daddy Janki used to say that a certain percentage was of her recovering from anything, for that healing process, was God's love. A certain proportion was her own determination. But the largest proportion was from the family, that actually 80% of her getting better was from the good wishes of the family. So maybe we could just see that, what you feel about that. What experiences have you had that have enabled you to accept the love from the family? Because sometimes it's easy to give love, but it's not easy to receive love. And for some people it's easy to receive love and not easy to give love. So would you like to share something along those lines of blessings, etc., from the family? Any one of you would like to? David? Any one of you? David?
Yeah, I think it's very subtle, the good wishes from others. I think it's, or what I've experienced anyway, in the giving is receiving as well, you know, very much so. Like whatever we give out, whether it's good feelings or whatever the soul is doing, that's sort of, it's sort of like that's the karmic sort of return, isn't it? In the sense of whatever we do, we're going to get good wishes from others. If it's on something that helps others or benefit for others. And sometimes it's the most simplest thing as well, you know, that, you know, in that sense of what we're doing. And we don't know the extent of that. And I think the good wishes part from others is like, from my own experience, sometimes I probably have to work more on the feeling of the accepting of those, you know, because sometimes we can take things very ordinary or, you know, that it doesn't seem as significant as that, but actually, and I think it's the same from Bubba as well. Like Bubba's obviously has that good wishes for every soul, and you know, it's like pulling every soul up according to Dharma as well. But it's like how much we really experience that's something else, you know. And sometimes when you do hear it practically, or you hear something, and then you may have had the feeling that, yeah, I felt that just for some reason very uplifted. Or I remember one time just a few years ago, it was even from actually when Didi was, Dr. Nirmala was here, and I was going to Australia, and it's the first time I really felt that, like the love and good wishes from that soul for my journey. You know, I'd actually left Daddy's cottage and I was on my way up, and then there was this whole wave of this feeling of like good wishes and love from that soul for my next part of what I was doing. So it was really but I guess in the situations when the soul's unwell, or in that sense, I have, touch wood, I haven't had that experience where, you know, many times we have the thing, okay, someone's not well, okay, we have special yoga for that soul and send the good wishes and that. And what I've heard from many souls, that's of course very tangible and very real. You know, when somebody's really intentionally sending good wishes and feelings for us. Yeah.
Also when you is it okay?
No,
it's not.
Okay. No. When they bring broke, you know, it's also, you feel the blessing from the family, and that it's so special, and it's not only broke, it is the love from Baba, from all the family who brings it, and you can feel it when you eat it. And for me, I didn't was so open for the blessing from the family, but after a while I could accept it and open up for the blessings from the family, and it is so important. But because it brings connection. Bring connection with each other.
Hi. Shirley, you want to share something?
I want to go back to sharing about where I was, you know, the soul, as we know that there's so many wrong beliefs when we come to Baba, sitting within the soul and layers and layers upon that. And somehow those are blockages that you really can't accept Baba's love and also the love of the family. And then along the journey of my Brahman life as well, you know, the soul especially always wanted to be valued and appreciated and accepted and all sorts of things. And the more that I was there with that neediness, the more hurt I got. And, you know, with Baba's knowledge, with, you know, yoga and things, you keep working and taking yourself out of that situation. And I remember in my Brahman life, I reached a stage where I was so tired of, you know, being happy and unhappy and all sorts of things. And it feels like you're going up and down the ladder, and that makes you more tired. And I remember once sitting in front of Baba, and I said, Baba, you have to help me, and I don't want anything from any human being. I mean, I don't know where that determination came from, that power came from, that, but the effort for a while, for a couple of months, I want nothing from any human being. And then I was seeing how Baba was filling the soul, and things when the soul came to that stage of that understanding and wanting to move forward and things. But blessings from the seniors. I was thinking about a situation a couple of years ago. I was so like upset and things, and we had a retreat in Nairobi, Kericho, and it was all the teachers from all over Africa came together, and I was a bit unhappy, and I said to Sister Jainti, I would like to meet Daddy. And Daddy and Jainti Ben met me, and I had complaints and all sorts of things. And Daddy sat and she looked at me and gave me such powerful drishti. But obviously it came with a lot of blessings, a lot of love, a lot of good wishes. And she said to me, forget about all that. The world is waiting for you. And I left that retreat definitely like a change in the soul. And that for me, that is very special gift and blessings. But when I was, when the illness came, you know, I shared with the seniors. But the whole world was sending emails and messages and everything. And, you know, initially you think, you know, I don't even, you know, think so much about everyone. But, yes, after a while it took to accept so much love from this godly family that made the, you know, helped the soul on its journey. And love from the seniors, love from the family. And when we do service with a clean heart as well, it's like such pure karma. And somehow that blessings from everyone that has been served, you know, with Baba's energy and a clean heart, even their blessings come to you in such a natural, powerful way that supports the soul while settling karmic accounts.
Sure. So, blessings, good wishes. While you were speaking, I was thinking about many situations and people that I know that have been through some situation that's required blessings, and there's blessings from the family. And I was just thinking, connecting it with what David said, that God has good wishes for each and every soul. I don't think God sits there all day long saying, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes. You know, it's not a repetitive, you know, when you send good wishes, you send them and they travel on their way, but you don't have to keep on sending good wishes. So there's something in the power of the thought that's filled with good wishes that kind of has a timelessness to it, that it reaches the target and carries on with the healing process. You know, because we are in a time of settlement now, and we have in the UK so many souls are leaving the body through illness, not a suddenly kind of thing, but you know, the good wishes that we're sending on to those souls that we didn't even maybe know, we'd never maybe interacted with them, but there's something to do with this power of good wishes, and I wonder if we could kind of connect that with how Daddy Janky works, because you know, even when she's not well, I remember once she came to our city, and she had come to inaugurate Worthing Retreat Centre, which is in the south of England, and she decided she was going to do that tomorrow. So I got a phone call to say that she was going to the retreat center, but we had to create a program. So, you know, with 24 hours notice, she used to love doing that with us. And so we created a program, and it was in January, and we got together 100 people. And she came for this program, and January is her birthday. And so we made her a cake, and this program, she did her little talk, and she said, right, okay, Daddy will go. I said, oh no, Daddy, you can't go. We have a cake for you. You have to do cake cutting, and you have to give everybody cake. And anyway, she did as requested, and we completed that, and she gave everybody cake. But after the event, I heard from someone that actually she'd had pains in her chest that day in the afternoon, and that people that had come with her had said, Daddy, I think you should go straight back to London. And she said no, that we had arranged this program for her so she would come. So, you know, and she said that, you know, Daddy felt she could go, but the blessings and the good wishes from everyone, without even knowing she wasn't well, actually made her well. So I wonder if we could kind of take it into this aspect that what Daddy, I always saw with Daddy is this aspect of appreciation. She always praised God. In every which way, she was always singing praise of God. She's that kind of angel. So I wonder if we could look at this healing process, but also whilst we're going through the healing, we can still give good wishes. You know, and that connection of how we can get to this next level. Maybe David, you can I pick on you again to start that off?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting part of this journey, because it's like what I've found too. The more whatever I'm doing, if I feel this is Bubba's task and Bubba's doing, and that I don't come into any mental act like dialogue that I'm doing this, then it becomes easy in the sense of just being instrument. And I think sort of in that space of being instrument, we're already fully open in a sense for Baba to use us in the right way. And it's almost like you're detached from that aspect that I'm doing. And also it's like I feel that we're in that space also, it's like automatically, like there's that experience of Baba's world, you know, being in Baba's world. And because it's like as soon as, I guess it's like, you know, when we give our introduction, you say, okay, you know, Linda, you're from the UK and .. you know, whatever you're doing and activities. But it's like if I'm in that space of being an instrument, then it's like there's that aspect of Haji as well, whatever's to be done. There's, you have that thing of, yes, I'm available to do that. But also, and then many times, even if you don't know that task, you'll get the right touching, the right, something will come to you from Baba where you'll know how to do that, you know. But initially it's that, you have to mentally be in that space for that to happen. And this has happened with many, many BKs, you know, on their journey where, even in the early days in the Yagyan Panda Bhavan, you know, if you spoke to a lot of seniors, I mean, they played all these different roles and no one had any training, but they were just available. And then Baba did the rest, you know. There's some become doctors and they'd never done any training and they had the right, you know, it's like to be in that space. And I think when we're in that state of being the instrument, then we have Baba's blessing and Baba's good wishes and that feeling of that as well, because it's like that's, you know.
Shiv Pita ko ab yaad karo, mukti dhaam.
Aniket, would you like to share something?
I just was thinking, you know, also what David said, Dr. Nirmala, she said, don't think, you think too much. And also Daddy said it, you know, don't think too much. Be in detached observer. And just don't connect with all the matter. Just this, I think that's also important, that you accept the things in your life and go to do through things, and then you can come closer to the love, because you are in acceptance. Yeah.
Thinking about the experience about Daddy, that souls didn't know that she wasn't well, but the love in their hearts, definitely it is Daddy's stage. And obviously Daddy has done so much work on herself, as mentioned by our sister. Daddy often reminded us of not to think. And definitely she saw the great magical benefit of that. Because Daddy has worked so much, made her mind so clean, her heart so clean. Naturally, you know, everyone feeling the stage of belonging to Daddy. And the love from their hearts and things, that the blessings came with as well, that Daddy felt so much. And for us to, in order to receive blessings from others, and also give blessings to others, it's like have to keep on cleaning and cleaning. Then we are able to become like Baba in that natural way and be able to feel the vibrations. The other day we were at the dining table and one of the brothers said he's from Bombay, and so he said he's 30 years in knowledge, and the other sister, you know, responded, "You're 30 years, brother, that's so powerful." He said, it doesn't matter how long someone is in knowledge, but what vibrations are we sharing all the time? And that was like so profound, no? As Baba's children, all the time we have to be so spiritually awake and aware of our thoughts, our feelings, our vibrations, so that that's what we share with everyone.
So just maybe one last question and then we can ask if they have any questions. But what do you think is the next efforts we have to make collectively as a whole family to get to that stage? Because I think drama is pushing us to get to this next stage. What do you think we have to do or be to get to that stage, but also that it's not going to sound like it's just hard work? You know, all this attention on myself, and it feels like, you know, that's hard work. So how can we make it so that it's we use the love, that the love can be the propellant to make us jump into that next stage? So you decide which one to speak.
Thank you. Yeah, that's interesting. I think, firstly, I think if we really love what we're doing, that's the first step. You know, if we're doing something we don't like doing, that's going to be make it very difficult to go to the next step. And that can be many, many things. I mean, but again, it's like you mentioned drama. What's the next thing in drama? Or, you know, drama's presenting us with this time now, which Baba said many, again and again, all of a sudden, things will happen all of a sudden. And, you know, that sort of the importance of being being ready. But I still feel it's, again, coming back to even with drama, you know, we say, okay, do we accept everything and everyone as they are? And I think sometimes even just that one point of drama that, okay, if this we're given a knowledge this drama's eternal, it's predestined, there's nothing that's happening that shouldn't be happening, it's all as it is, but how much mentally do I accept that, you know? And I think in that aspect of things, that's where I can get the mirror of where I am really in that. You know, if I'm looking at something or someone and think they shouldn't be doing this or this shouldn't be happening, these little things of thoughts and thinking, then I've misunderstood that the reality of drama, because it's predestined. It's not somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing, they're just playing their part. But can I accept that? That's the real, yeah, because many times we say, yeah, okay, drama's drama, past is past, but then if I don't accept it like that, then I'm going to be pulled into the past, because I'll keep thinking then, if somebody's done something, then if I haven't accepted that, then I'm going to go away thinking, why did they do that, and how come they said that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to create this dialogue which won't allow me to be where I am, present, in soul conscious, and acceptance of the drama as it is. And I think when we accept it as it is, then we're in that stage already of the detached observer. Because what is detached observer? To me, sometimes I look at it in the thing of a child, a young child, a baby, they're like the detached observer. They don't know anything. They don't think. They're just looking and observing. When they want food, they'll cry. Mum will come. When they need something, they'll respond. But otherwise, they're just the detached observer. And I think when we come back more and more to that sort of stage of detached observer, then we're already in that stage of bliss. We're just enjoying the game. We're enjoying whatever's happening in the world. Because one side we can look at it, okay, this is really serious. It's, you know, there's a lot of wars going on. There's a lot of conflict and all this, which, of course, is on one side, on a lockic side, we could say that's terrible, or that sort of, and start taking sides of this one and that one. But, of course, when we really are in that stage of detached observer, when we're just looking at it, Baba just looks at it. He doesn't think this is wrong, or there, that's not right. He's just, this is drama. It has to take place. So that's sort of, to me, that's like more and more, that's sort of the next step where we're in that space. And we're playing our part, what we really need to be playing as well. Because from my experience being, I guess, on the creative side and creative things, it's always like, if I love doing them, then I can be more like complete in doing that task. And for example, if I'm doing something I don't like doing, then what am I doing? Where's my intellect? It's going to be thinking, oh, how long before I finish this, to don't go and do that, which I like doing. So that's like a waste as well. Waste of time, waste of energy, thought energy in this. So, yeah, I guess a detached observer would be the next state, or to keep in that space of being detached observer.
I had to think, and this week I heard also Rich Mohan, he was here, and he said, going above, and there is no floor. There is no floor, so you just can go, you know. It makes it so easy.
I like that practice and stage of a detached observer. But I want to ask Brother David how to get there.
Yes, well, that's always the tricky bit, isn't it? How to get there. But it's, I think it's like when we're... of course, we're still in this body, so we still have things to learn. We're not karmati. So even though we might think, okay, to be in detached observers, okay, but then if something happens which is touches some old sanskara or something in the soul that's not resolved, then of course we start coming into where we don't accept it. You know, mentally we think, oh, this has happened and maybe, but I don't know, I feel the method of being that is what I was sharing earlier, of just being very present, very still, and being aware of when we start thinking. And I think too mentioned here about the thinking process. I remember once I went to Nawarebhai about something, and I said, Nawarebhai, what do you think about that? He said, I don't think. Like really seriously, he said, I don't think. And I thought, how can you not think, you know? And of course, as I've gone further, I realize, okay, we usually think about something we need to think about. Like if we, like the, I guess sort of those who maybe know a little bit of my background story, but I first experienced Baba in the forest, in the jungle, which was really, really silent. And I remember sort of my whole world at that time was really the basic aspects of survival. Water, food, shelter, and that was all. Nothing else. And so what I had to think about is to get firewood to cook. So part of my activity was just getting the firewood, carry the water from the spring. And I built my house very quickly, being a carpenter. So that was done very quick. So it sort of brought me to that space where, okay, then there's just that space of being. And the being space was like, I would transcribe that now to, okay, being soul conscious, being present, just enjoying the moment, enjoying being the observer, detached observer.
Yeah, I think that's the key, isn't it? That we have to marry up enjoyment with the detached observer. Enjoyment of being present. Enjoyment that it's actually not a task. Like you shared in the beginning, I'm going for meditation. We've got to bring those two things together so that happiness and the doing and the being and the detached observer is all part of one, isn't it? We're good. Okay, so if we can have a mic, maybe we can ask the audience. This one? There is one? Okay. So anyone would like to ask a question? There is a mic here, Shauna. Okay, you have to come.
Short one. I just wanted to say, in all this discussion, I really appreciated all that you had shared, but I really resonated with what Brother David said about being a child and enjoying the game. And I like that a lot. And sort of that is actually, as far as I have been in knowledge and what I've observed, from like going back to that stage of being a child and being in the moment. Of course, not crying when you know to cry or things like you raising about that. And what you just said lately, that was also very good, was sort of just being and automatically observing and realizing that there's another stage and another stage and another. I really like that. And all of your points were...
Thank you. Well, any other questions? Okay, shall we end with some meditation, or has he got a question?
Brother David, I remember that in 2011, first time I meet you, with my hair is without any white hair. But now I meet you again, you still nothing, nothing. Maybe I see you in the same as till year past. I think that you have any secret. It lies that you still happy and without any time effect in your face.
I'm not sure I understood all that, but you're saying I look the same as what I was before or something. Was it? Yeah? Okay, still there. What? Yeah, what to say? I mean, again, I think it's, you know, when we love what we're doing, you know, I've always loved what I've been doing for service. So I feel, you know, that's very, and, you know, even in the Lockic world, you know, many very successful people, they come to this point, say everyone has their own unique special part and quality and specialties. And sometimes, you know, we have to work on that of what is that for me if we haven't found that, you know, because sometimes it's like that can come about any time for any of us, even in Gyan. It's like, you know, I remember doing service in the past, but I don't think there was anything, or if there was something I didn't like doing, it becomes more evident then, because what happens then, of course, your happiness does go, no? If you're not happy what you're doing, then you're not happy. So if Baba's saying, okay, we should be happy, and I think those things are like, I guess it's sort of, you know, we create our own part within that as well. You know, in that sense of, you know, if I look in my past, even before Gyan, in that sense, I was like a bit of an explorer, so I like going to places where even many people say, no, don't go there, this will happen, this is like this, this like this, all these stories. But to me, I thought, well, okay, all our own experiences are different, yeah, for each and every one of us. So what works for me may not work for everyone else, but in that basis of doing what we love doing, I think that's important. Finding that, or finding, you know, our specialty and where we can do that, and because we're all unique, yeah. Does that make sense?
Very good. And maybe if there are things you don't like doing, then we have to find ways to change our mindset so that we do like doing. Because there are some things that sometimes we say we didn't come into Gyan to do this, but it's part of the job. And so it's just an attitude switch to find something that Baba, like Surya was sharing yesterday, of all the 21 days and 15 points and, you know, just changing the mindset. So thank you. Okay, any more questions or shall we just finish with some meditation? Okay, let's finish with some meditation. We have one song?
Well, last thing I'm thinking.
Okay. One last thing that I would like to share with that stayed in my mind, Brother Ken, a while ago he did a 1 week program with the South Africans online. And throughout the week, he kept on reminding us all, Baba is so, so beautiful, so lovely, and so natural. And he gave the example of a bouquet of flowers. He said, if a bouquet is so beautiful, you don't go and rearrange the bouquet of flowers. You just enjoy that bouquet. And he said, like that, go beyond everything. You know, sometimes we think, does Baba love me? I did this today. Does go beyond all that and just love Baba. But he kept on reminding us, make the love for Baba, experience the love for Baba in such a natural way. And then yoga will be so much easier and beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. And thank Anike, David and Shirley for your participation in this chit-chat. Om Shanti.